Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. There was two great commandments, to love the Lord your God with everything you got, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And this series, we've really been focusing on how to best love our neighbors. What does it look like to love your neighbor? What does that type of love look like? And we talked about if we could love somebody, the greatest way that you could love somebody is to give them something of eternal worth and eternal value. And that's what we have in our relationship with Jesus. And so more than any material thing that we can give our neighbor, and it's good to be able to bless those around us, but even more than any material thing or any money or any car or any house, the greatest thing that we can give is the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's what we've been talking about. How can we love our neighbor?
One of the things that's been resonating with me during this series is the need to remain compassionate. I think it's easy for that to kind of wane a bit. And if you look around, we've begun to see that there is like a lot of people that are high-functioning, wounded people. So it's they smile on the outside, they look all put together, but on the inside they're really, really hurting. And they seem fine to go around their lives and their daily things, but it's important for us to remember, as the hands and feet of Jesus, we have to remain in a place of compassion to be able to see past the facade and still care for people when they're going through difficult things.
You know, I think as we look at the ministry of Jesus, there are so many times that he's moved with compassion. And that's one of the things I'd like to really talk about a little bit more today is, you know, one of the scriptures that really stood out to me while I was thinking about how Jesus was moved with compassion was Matthew 9:36, which says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus had compassion, and this compassion led him to reach people and touch people in a very authentic way. You know, I believe that when we come in contact with the true love of God, the closer that we get to the heart of God, it causes us not to be religious, but to touch people and reach people in a very authentic way. That's what the ministry of Christ was. That's what the compassion of Christ led him to do. And so I think it's really profound when we as Christians begin to tap into that compassion that Jesus moved in, this compassion that comes from God. It opens up a whole new dimension of our faith and causes us to really reach needs in an authentic way. Mm-hmm. One of the things that made Jesus powerful was how he understood and met real needs around him. There were many people, just like today, with all kinds of needs, and Jesus would step into that moment, be moved with a godly compassion, and be able to respond in a very profound way. So there's more, you know, when we open ourselves up to the compassion of God, we begin to see a new dimension, right? And the more that we see this, we see brokenness around us, people that are hurting. We see that we begin to have a desire to share, you know, not just the good news of Jesus, but also the things that come with the good news of Jesus, which is the healing of the brokenhearted, you know, those that are sick, those that are, you know, in toxic emotions. God is there to mend broken hearts. So I find that as we move with compassion, we see really powerful things happen.
Amen. I think when we're calling ourselves followers of Christ, that it's important that we're chasing after his heart, to have a heart like him. And it's a discipline to put aside these things that happen in life and things that we see over and over, where we can become desensitized to the world around us and desensitized to pain and things. And I was reminded when I was a little girl, I remember we would be driving to church and sometimes we'd have to go through the rough parts of town and seeing people that were homeless on the side. Back then, you know, you didn't have like phones and stuff. You just look out the window And so I would look out the window and I'd see these people and I'd say, oh my goodness, you know, like I remember asking myself questions and feeling a certain way when I would see them. And I wondered, like, what happened that brought them to that place? Do they know that God loves them? Do they feel alone? Like, those are the things that I think faith like a child is you don't have all this stuff, all these barriers. When you see things from a fresh perspective with the heart of God, you have compassion on a level that's different than when you've been jaded by life. And I think that's the battle that we have to fight, is to say, I'm not going to become desensitized to the people around me and to this world. Even when we get hurt, you know, we have to take on the heart of Christ and say, we're going to love people despite what we see or what we've been through.
I think one of the saddest things that we see as Christians are Christians that lack compassion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we lack compassion, it creates a host of problems in our faith walk, right? Because central to following Christ is this godly compassion. Central to really walking in his footsteps is loving people with that level of compassion. So we see that, you know, when we don't respond well to those, we're not responding well to those that we're supposed to work with. We're not responding well to people that we should be serving when we're not moved with compassion. So this lack of compassion sometimes makes us completely oblivious to all kinds of needs that can be going on around us, both needs inside the church and outside the church, needs in our family, needs in the workplace. And so people can be broken and hurting, and we don't even see it. We don't even perceive it when we have a lack of compassion.
We have to really, like I said, guard our hearts. And when we look around, if you look at the news feeds, you look at comments, you look at just people's conversations, there's really nothing sacred anymore. When things happen, people begin to mock. People begin to make fun. Even when somebody's demise. And it's a really sad thing. We have to be set apart. We have to restrain ourselves from going there, because I think that is the path to becoming desensitized, is engaging in things that are like mocking others or just, you know, making commentary that's not right. And so, you know, I think it comes back to really, really turning away from things that are not from the character of Christ and saying, God, give me a heart to see things the way that you see. Give me the heart to love people despite what it looks like. Help me not be a judgmental person. Help me not be critical. Help me to have an open heart to be your hands and feet. And I think it comes down to those type of prayers and those type of sacrifices that you're willing to put aside other things.
I think that's so powerful, that the concept of that scripture talks about, like, no, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, yeah. Right? Or how can pure water and dirty water come out of the same faucet? You know, there's this thought process that we should be building people up. Our compassion should lead us to build people up, not tear them down. I think there's always something that can be said that can either help people come to the truth if they're in a place of error, right, or if they're in a place of difficulty. What can I say to encourage them? We have to become unwilling to send people away,
yes,
without helping them. I love this aspect of Jesus' ministry. There are these times that we really see vividly that he was unwilling to send people away that still had needs. And before, this is what happened with Jesus when he fed the 4,000 in Matthew 15:32. It says, then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people, or another way that this could be said, another translation is compassion. Mm-hmm. They've been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they'll faint along the way. You know, we have to become, like Jesus, unwilling to send people away, yes, without meeting needs, without saying, is there something I can do? Sometimes there might not be something that you can do. Maybe the best that you can do is pray in that particular situation. But there's a lot of times that there is something that we can do. And so Jesus was unwilling to send the people away hungry. He could have said, you know what, that's not my problem. They should have packed a lunch. They should have said, okay, let me take a break and go into the village and come back. He didn't say that, though. I think this is the real compassionate part that we see.
Yeah.
Because we can look at people and say, well, you should have done this. That's pretty clear. That's common sense. You did this to yourself, and now you're here. That's not compassion. That's a lack of compassion. Compassion says, you know, they did the wrong thing. They made some bad choices. Now they're in a bad spot. How can I step into this situation and show compassion? And like Jesus, not be willing to send people away. They're in a state that is hurting or broken. This type of compassion is what we really need as Christians.
I think, too, sometimes we get caught up in our own stuff, right? And we might say, well, I got a bunch of stuff going on. How am I really going to help somebody else, you know? And I feel that the enemy uses that to try to get us to disqualify ourselves from actually being the hands and feet. But it's important to remember we're all in the same boat, right? We've all been given grace. We've all been given a measure of faith. We've all been bought with a price and with this unconditional love that he has. So when he blesses us with this love and we receive this love, it's not just for us. You know, he gives us grace to be able to help those around us.
Something on top of what you're saying, because it's important. You know, we talked about at the beginning of the year how God was saying that he was going to increase capacity. Well, this is when you get into these moments, when you see needs around you, these are the moments that God can increase your capacity. You say, well, I don't have enough time. God can increase your strategy of time management. God can increase, you say, I don't have the resources. God can increase your ability to have resources. Scripture actually tells us that he gives seed to the sower.
Right.
So that it says the generous person will be made rich,
yes.
Right? So we understand that as we begin to meet the needs of others, God will meet our needs. Scripture also says the person that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. So I'm saying, I don't know if I have enough provision. I don't know if I have enough resources or time to get involved. Well, I want to encourage you today. God wants to increase your capacity, whether it's your ability to have different things on your plate, right? Time management. Or whether it's God blessing you to be a blessing. That's exactly what he told Abraham. He says, you're going to be blessed to be a blessing. So I think that's really important for us to see. It's not about how we see ourselves. It's what God can create in us. It's what God can multiply us to be more.
Yes. And I think something else that has really helped me along the way is this specific scripture, Matthew 25:42-25, which says, for I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. That right there keeps me in check, that says, like, I need to have my feelers on. I need to be ready to serve people, because we never know who we're entertaining. And if we really have the heart of God, we saw it with Jesus, like, countless times. We are commissioned. Like, it is our responsibility. It's not just like, hey, if we feel like it, you know. Like, he's given us the responsibility to love our neighbor as ourselves. The responsibility to put up, to do unto others as we would want them to do to us, right? So putting others first, loving them like we love ourselves, that is something that it's hard to do, but we have to discipline ourselves to do it.
You know, James 2:15-16 says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? I love how James says it. He says, what good is it to have a type of faith that leaves people in lack?
Yeah.
What good is that type of religion? What good is that type of faith? That's really not any, and he goes on to say, faith without works is dead.
Right.
So what type of faith is it that does not show compassion? What type of, you know, Christian lifestyle is it that allows people to remain where they are when they're in a bad place? So James goes on and says, faith without works is dead. Our faith is dead if it doesn't bring a power, if it doesn't have a powerful expression. Our faith is dead if it doesn't bring us to action. Our faith should bring us to sharing faith, right? Our faith should bring us to the place of meeting natural needs and, even more importantly, spiritual needs. Our personal faith should lead us to a place of sharing the life-changing news of Jesus Christ. That's of all the good that we can do, it all has to lead to this place. Going to meet physical needs, meet these natural needs, but ultimately the greatest thing that I can do is help meet the spiritual needs and make this introduction.
I was thinking about this, and what I concluded was this: faith that is devoid of compassion is devoid of love, which makes it just religion. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, this is exactly what it says. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love and compassion is faith in action. Like, if we don't have that, then we're just doing things out of ritual because it's the right thing to do. But if our hearts aren't in the right place when we do it, then what are we doing it for? So love is faith in action.
I like it. Mark 6:34 says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. I want to tell you that there's a great crowd, just like there was a great crowd around Jesus many times. There's a great crowd around us that are like sheep without a shepherd. They don't have the good shepherd in their life. They don't have God's guidance. They don't have the good shepherd, which is Jesus. And there's a lot of people that are living without him, or people that have drifted away from him. They're like sheep without a shepherd. This is what these are Jesus' words. Mm-hmm. We were all at that place at one time in our life, right? We were all at that place where we were lost. We were wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. But thank God he sent somebody that could be the guide to lead us to the good shepherd, point us in the direction of the good shepherd. Our job now is to point people in the direction of the good shepherd. Jesus had such compassion because he looked out on the crowd and he saw they were like sheep wandering around, scattered, like they did not have a shepherd. We have to have the compassion to see the ones that are still wandering around because they haven't met Christ. They have not met the good shepherd. They don't have God's guidance in our life. Something in us has to move and say, you know what, I can do something about that.
I really believe our heart should be like his heart, which is that none would perish. So when we're looking at the world around us, we're looking at not just people, but souls, and saying, man, we don't want anybody to perish under our watch. If someone's around me that needs help, that needs to feel love, that needs to feel that somebody's looking out for them, like, let it be me, you know, let me be available. But I think we have to get to the place where we want to be so extreme with our love, and I mean the love of Christ, that when people are exposed to it, it immediately draws their attention to God. Right? There's the scripture that says they will know we're his disciples by our love. when they know us, when we become so much like Christ that they can sense his love, and it begins to capture their attention and say, man, I need more of this. I think then we're on the right path.
You know, I think the thing that for us sometimes keeps us from sharing our faith is we're like, well, what do I know? What can I do? It's just me. You know, I'm not some big person that's super spiritual or super in the Bible. But the thing is, there's something that God has placed in you. And what we have is so powerful. Even if you just have a little bit of faith, Jesus said, even if you have mustard seed faith, you can move mountains.
Yeah.
Even if you just got a little bit of a relationship with Jesus, imagine how you can impact people. What you have is life-changing. You might say, well, I'm not that spiritually mature yet. I've just come to Christ. God can still use you. He used the woman at the well to start a revival in her town. How long had she known Jesus? A few minutes.
Yeah.
God can use what little you know and spark a revival in someone's heart. Can move someone, can change somebody's life eternally. Our job is to do the natural. God does the supernatural. You don't have to go out and think, oh, I've got to do something supernatural. I've got to do something super spiritual. Our job is to open up and just share what God puts in our heart. And he's the one who anoints that conversation. He's the one who puts his power on our conversation and makes it effective. There's nothing that we say that can really, really move the heart of some man or some woman or some family member, some coworker. What is it? It's when we respond in obedience and God anoints our words. He puts his power on our conversation. And you will be surprised when you step out. And yeah, sometimes it might be a little uncomfortable. Step out to share your faith. The Good Samaritan went out of his way to love his neighbor. He went out of his way. He was on a business trip. He was going about his business, and he sees this person beat up on the side of the road. He sees this person hurting, and he's moved with compassion.
Yeah.
He's moved with compassion to love his neighbor, to get involved. So my prayer for you as we're going through this month, as we're really meditating this week, who is it that I can help? Who is it that I can share the love, the message of Jesus, and the kindness of Jesus with? Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. God, I thank you for each and every person that's here today. God, you brought us together for such a time as this. And Lord, you're speaking words to your church. You're speaking words to your sons and daughters about how much you love everybody, how much you desire everybody to come into the family. God, I thank you that you've given us the awesome responsibility and the privilege to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we can say it in the words that you've given us. It doesn't have to sound super spiritual, but it is super spiritual when we move in obedience. You're not looking for perfect orators. You're looking for people with a heart after you and with a heart for people. So God, stir up our hearts, God, that we can be faith in action. We can meet needs in the natural, absolutely. But even more, we can meet needs in the spirit by sharing faith. God, I thank you for that. And as heads are bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I've kind of drifted in my faith. I need to reconnect with him. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I've never really had that solid connection with Jesus. I want that. If either of those are you, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. Amen. That's so awesome. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this, you can pray this too. Jesus, thank you for loving me long before I loved you. Thank you for laying down your life, dying on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry for the times I've sinned. I'm sorry for the times I failed. Forgive me. I accept your free gift of salvation, forgiveness, and connection with the Father. Teach me how to live a life that pleases you and pleases the Father. Give me the strength to do that. Give me the wisdom to do that. Give me the steps. I give you my life. I want you to help me live it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let's give God the praise. Wow. I'm so excited for you. If you made a decision to rededicate your life or give your life to Christ, get connected. Connect here. Connect with a process. Connect with a journey of faith that will help you grow. There are some people here that will walk with you as you go on the journey and get closer to God and become more confident in your faith in Christ. I will tell you this, if God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is with you, you will be. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.